Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And now, it's time for the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show with Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Go to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app from the App Store now. And MailMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair is the winning play.
Well, good evening, Chicago. It is great to be with you all right now on our Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com. I am Hub Arkish, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley are alongside. We are just a little over an hour away from the Bears kickoff in Los Angeles, taking on the 4-2 Rams. Certainly, I guess, the most significant game of the season to date for the Chicago Bears. We seem to have a lot of these. I think everybody believed that the Indianapolis game was. It didn't go well. There was immediate panic and concern. And then the Bears came back 4 days later and beat a Bucs team that people expected them to lose to, establishing themselves now at 5-1 after knocking off the 3-2 Panthers to send them to 3-3 as tied for the best record in the National Football League at 5-1 coming into the season. The Bucs win, certainly a bit of a statement game, as they have been really impressive in their two since. But now the Rams, that Rams defense challenging the Bears' struggling offense, can they get it done tonight? Let me bring in my co-hosts. We've got, as I said, Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley alongside. And, you know, guys, that certainly is the story. I think everybody looking at this one is the test for the Bears so far. I don't think this is season-making or season-changing one way or the other. But if the Bears are to get a win tonight, Pat, I think that people are going to have to start taking them awfully seriously.
No, yeah, I agree with you. And I also think they're going to start taking themselves serious. I think this could be a confidence boost for the Bears. I think this is a, you know, this is a litmus test game where they can kind of figure out where they are. They keep hearing they're the worst 5-1 NFL team in NFL history or whatever people are saying. But we've seen it. This defense is coming into what we thought they were going to be and what Matt Nagy said at the beginning of the year. But this is just a game, I think, for them that if they come away with a win and if they can come away with a win convincingly, that sets the table for this tough run coming up forward. And I look forward to seeing what they do tonight and how they respond.
You know, Olin, I think the flip side of it a little bit, though, is that with New Orleans next Sunday, and yes, the Saints have struggled, but they're still the Saints, and they're out there at 4-2. And then the Tennessee Titans the week after that. Should the Bears get beat tonight, everybody's going to go, oh, they weren't for real, they're no good. I'm not buying that. I think they absolutely have to win one of the next three. If they win two of the next three, whichever two they are, you got to take them fairly seriously as you look at the second half of the season.
Well, you got to take them seriously because they're 5-1 already, right? And like you guys know, it's hard to win in the NFL, and they've done it, and they've found ways to win, and some have been extremely questionable. But it doesn't. All that doesn't matter when you sit at 5-1 and atop the NFC North, and right there, you know, if you win tonight, you sit on top the NFC. So tonight's a tough game for them. Probably, I don't know if you guys would agree, but maybe the biggest test on defense that they'll get this year, just because the Rams have all their weapons and the Bears have not seen that yet this year from a team where they had all their guys healthy. The Rams run the ball. The Bears have struggled to stop the run. But anyway, to your question, Hup, yes, very excited for this game. We all know the Bears defense is great. We're just wondering if the offense can do enough in a game where a team puts up about 24 points.
Folks, we're a little tight tonight only because of the late start and the early kickoff. We're with you until kickoff at about 7:17 or so. When we'll wrap it up, we're going to hear from Mark Grody with Actives and Inactives and a report on the Bears' week leading up to the game at 6:20. At 7 o'clock, our buddy Dan Pompey will join us. I will get you, we're in an interesting spot here because we're keeping records and we're keeping track. I did collect some picks. I didn't even
Let's erase last week. Let's erase last week.
Well, it's funny, Owen, because I was going to let it go. I mean, the games were played yesterday.
Never let it go, Hub.
Well, you and Pat both sent me your picks. And I got to be honest with you, as I'm talking, I haven't looked yet. I don't know what you guys did, but my picks are out there too. So we'll tell everybody what we did just to keep our records intact. I know that no matter what we did, Olin and Patrick have been really good this year, winning 66% of their games. We'll get to that in a little while. We will, of course, have our pick on the Bears game for you as well. If you want to get into the conversation, you can give us a call at 312-644-6767. You may have to hold on for a minute or two. Phones are open right now. We've got about 10 minutes where we can take your calls. When guests are on, obviously, we're not taking calls, but we'd love to hear from you as well. You can also text us at 312-644-6767. And guys, let's get right to it. Olin, I'm going to come right back to you first. There's a lot of fun things and interesting things to talk about this football game, but I think anybody who knows the game believes that a lot of this is going to come down to what can the Bears do with Aaron Donald, and to a lesser degree to Michael Brockers. Leonard Floyd is going to be looking to put his stamp on this football game. Jalen Ramsey may be the best corner in football. I would expect him to shadow Allen Robinson a good part of the night. But at the end of the day, there's a very good chance that what this game comes down to is you're going to see Aaron Donald, number 99, lined up on the outside shoulder of Charles Leno a fair amount. You're going to see him head up on the left guard, whether that's Rashad Coward or whether that is Alex Bars. I assume it's Rashad Coward again. Now, Donald will freelance. They'll move him over on the other side occasionally, but he's going to spend the better part of the game in those two spots. And Olin, the question is there a way for the Bears to get those guys enough help? Because nobody in the league can handle this guy one-on-one. He's got 7.5 sacks, 8.5 tackles for loss. But there are teams that find ways to combat him. And obviously, he is at what has been the soft spot of the Bears' offense so far.
Definitely. And the first thing I'd like to say is that no one can handle him one-on-one the whole game. Because some plays, you're going to have to handle him one-on-one. And, just watching the film this week, guys have blocked him one-on-one. The San Francisco 49ers right guard, I can't remember his name right now, he blocked him one-on-one a lot. But you got to help the guys with the scheme. And Pat, that's counters, that's screens, that's double-teaming him with the center going his way, release the back through the B-gap. So the other guys have to hold up all night with their one-on-one blocks to get this guy blocked. And, San Fran had the perfect scheme, perfect plan for Aaron Donald. Screens, counters, misdirections. Just, Pat, just slow him down a little bit so I can get my hands on him.
Yeah, and I went back and watched a little bit of that Buffalo Bills tape as well, and that was a similar game plan kind of to what Kyle Shanahan did. But the one thing that the Bills had was Josh Allen can move. He can get out of the pocket. He was making throws on the run and was able to escape some of that stuff. But that 49ers game plan last week, I mean, that's just how you do it, right? You run wide, you pin block them, you have a guy named George Kittle, and you have a Juszczyk tight end who can block the edge, and you run away from them that way. And I think that, what are the stats or something, Garoppolo went 4-for-4 on the first drive and didn't throw a ball maybe past the yard line or something, past the line of scrimmage. I mean, so you're working those screens like you're talking about, you're working those movement passes, you're getting that play action in. So it'll be interesting to see if Matt Nagy dials up a similar game plan that Kyle Shanahan did, because I just don't see how they can sit there in 11 personnel and, in shotgun with the running back just sitting back there and block that all day long. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and if you take a look at it, Hub, the Bears' problem on offense is that they're not dynamic anywhere. They're not dynamic at wide receiver. They're not dynamic at O-line. They're not dynamic everywhere. So, the 49ers get to 4th-and-2 last week, and they hit George Kittle for a 50-yard touchdown. I don't see anybody on the Bears doing that. Maybe Allen Robinson, but they'll have Ramsey on him, and you can take him away. So the Bears' problem is that their offense as a whole, and how do you protect the whole offense from this guy? And it's not just Aaron Donald, right? It's Ramsey. And the problem with the Bears is if they double if they double Donald and put all that attention on Donald, the other guys have to win one-on-one blocks the whole game, and they just don't have an offensive line that can do that.
You know, and guys, really, as good as the Rams' defense is, and actually it's interesting because the Rams' defense and the Bears' defense ranked near identically in most categories. They're very similar defenses. The difference is there is a lot more star power on the Bears' defense. If you find answers, Jalen Ramsey's a cornerback, so he's going to get beat every once in a while. But for the most part, he's going to win most matchups that he has, and I don't care if he's playing Julio Jones. So Allen Robinson's just got to give you the best he can. Michael Brockers is very, very good, but he's not unique. And then you've got Donald. Other than that, there are places you can attack this defense. That's why the 49ers were able to hit Kittle. And so I come back to Donald, and guys, I'm going to risk getting a little far out over my skis here, but I think I'm safe because Olin already alluded to it. Donald is as special as any player in the NFL right now because of his quickness, his first step, his leverage, and his technique. But what he will not do is beat you with brute strength. And I'm not saying he's weak. I'm not saying that he can't get away with a bull rush once in a while, but it's usually because he surprises you with that quickness. I think, Olin, the key, you got to get your hands on him. And when you get your hands on him, there's a chance to stalemate him long enough to make some plays. And that's where the key guys become David Montgomery and Cordero Patterson and Anthony Miller and Darnell Mooney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing about when you talk technique, and Pat knows this with Aaron Donald, you're going down a rabbit hole because it all depends on who the guy is blocking him. So, you know, Coward presents a difficulty for some D linemen because of his length, and he's a long guy, and maybe he can get some space in his game. For me, I'm a shorter guy, so I'm going to always talk about taking the space away, take the fight to him, get his hands on him. I'm a smaller guy, so I'm not going to sit back. Bigger guys can sit back, let Donald dance around, and then let him run into him. So it all depends on who the guard is. Rashad Coward, to me, they got to slide Cody to him if they're going to help with the center on some plays, and he's got to not get beat outside. You know, that's what Donald does so well, is that the guard has inside help, Pat, and he's still getting beat outside. The guy is just the guard is trying to take away his outside pass rush move, and the guy still gets beat. So the Bears offense, same as they've been going through all year, it's just this defense only giving up 19 points a game is a little better. It kind of reminds me of when the Colts came in, how the Colts looked on film, and they're just going to present a bunch of problems. And the guy we haven't even brought up is Brandon Staley, their defensive coordinator, who understands the Bears offense and what Matt Nagy's trying to do as well as anybody in the league.
And Olin, another thing with this offensive line, and we saw it last week, and I think I heard you talking about it on the Parkin show, is that, you know, the defenses have now figured out this offensive line in their run game. Mm-hmm. They're running stunts. They're running, you know, run stunts. They're blitzing, you know, run blitzes. They ran that darn cross dog stunt against the Bears last week, and they couldn't pick that up at all. And I'm just guessing, you know, it's
on every first down, right? You're waiting for them to recognize it.
Well, 100%. So let me ask you this. I'm sitting there watching it. I know we get the tape and we're watching on the tape, but the Mike linebacker is a yard in front of the Will linebacker every time they ran it. Isn't that something you would see after the first or second time they do it?
Yeah, and the D linemen were giving a lot of tips on the cross dog, and you never really know what guys are seeing on the field. There's a play down in the red zone. I can't remember exactly which quarter, but you see Cody really frustrated with himself at the end of the play because I should have recognized that blitz when they ran the blitz at him and he went to the wrong guy, and it just seemed like they were pointing the wrong guy. And you know, that immediately tells me, Pat, you got to simplify the damn thing. You got to simplify the run game, pair that thing all the way down, and make it really as simple as possible for these offensive linemen so they're at least on the right guy.
Well, it makes me think about, I forgot, you'll remember which game, but there's an NFL Films, it might have been against Seattle, it was NFL Films deal where the defensive line coach is like, they only run three damn plays.
Right.
And you guys did, and you guys figured it out, and you guys were great at it. And I was going to ask you that question, what should you do? And I think you're right, just being in meetings with you and all the O-line over the years, that simplify it. Run the same play, run the same three or four plays against all those looks and figure those out, figure out the calls, figure out their blitzes, and try to get that down.
But like you guys know, the Bears don't run a ton of, if you say scheme, a ton of different scheme plays. They run outside zone. They run a little gap scheme. They run inside zone. But what they do is they motion a lot. There's a ton of different formations. So the O-line never really gets the same look, and it never really gets settled in. And that's something that eventually for this scheme to – adjust and become what it wants to be, the O-linemen have to get better at trying to predict how the team will line up and where to take the blocking scheme to.
And for those of you who haven't done your homework this week, Olin just alluded to it. Wade Phillips, legendary both head coach and defensive coordinator in the NFL, coached this defense to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, was fired after the season last year because of the disappointing campaign they had, as well as letting a number of their top defensive players get away. Brandon Staley is a Vic Fangio disciple. He was the Chicago Bears outside linebackers coach in 2017-2018. So he was Khalil Mack's coach in that first year with Khalil Mack. Here, there is a lot of intelligence available to the Rams about the Bears. Brandon Staley knows this offense he's going to try and stop. Now, the flip side of that is that Matt Nagy has a pretty good idea of what Brandon Staley is going to try and do. And Staley does have some great, great players, but not all the horses that were here in a couple prior years. Guys, we're going to try and sneak in one quick call before we go to break because Rob has dialed us up all the way from North Carolina. Rob, we appreciate you calling in. How you doing tonight?
Guys. Good, love the show. Hey, a couple comments. As a huge Bears fan, the last couple of weeks have reminded me of 2018, where the defense is getting pressure and we're getting turnovers, and kind of the same quarterback play. I do think that Foles is better, to be honest with you, missing a lot of big plays, games we could put the game away. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that because we know we've got a plethora of all-stars on defense, not many on offense, but Maggie's still getting those kind of calls that you question, but the defense is masking that. I just want to see if you thought that was true. And one quick thing before I go, I noticed Hronus Grasu was playing with the 49ers. I wanted to see if Olin, if we, I know we drafted him, did we give up too early or was that just how it went? Appreciate it, guys.
Olin, I'll let you take it there and start with Hronus.
With Hronus, you know, the Bears didn't give up too early. Hronus is the backup center in San Francisco. I forget their starting center's name now, but he's out.
Garland?
Yeah, I got to look it up, but he is, you know, he's a backup center. He's a backup center guard. The Bears didn't move on too soon from Hronus Grasu. I don't know about you, Pat, but I definitely agree with that caller on film, and I know you watch a ton of it. That defense, they're ferocious, man.
Yeah, no doubt, and that's just, it's fun, because I think earlier in the year, I was getting on him a little bit because Matt Nagy called him the best defense in the NFL. And, they weren't playing up to what his standards was, and now they are. And they're just – they hit, and they're flying around. And just from the great defenses we played with, Olin, it becomes contagious, I think, a little bit, that they all feed off each other. And you just see that out there. They're enjoying being out there. They're in awe of each other, which is kind of fun to watch. Everybody's talking about Kyle Fuller and how physical he's playing. And once you kind of get that going, you know, that's what you call swagger. And then they just keep it going, and hopefully they can get it going tonight and disrupt that that Rams offensive line and that scheme they have.
Yeah, guys, the one thing I would have to beg to differ with Rob just a bit, everybody tries to base the offense on Trubisky versus Foles. The 2018 offense by week 7 was ahead of where this offense is. And I'm not saying Trubisky was playing better than Foles is. I'm saying the offense was more productive and the numbers will back it up. It was a lot different with Jordan Howard in front of Tariq Cohen than it is right now with David Montgomery basically in front of Cordero Patterson. Running game was a little more effective and it was getting better as the season went on. Allen Robinson was already off to a really good start and they were getting more from Taylor Gabriel and a few other people. So offense really needs to start to catch up. And guys, this defense I don't think is anywhere near its ceiling yet. They played really well the second half against the Bucs. They had their best game of the year last week in Carolina, but I think that arrow is still pointing up. We should add, we're going to talk to Mark Grody in just a moment, Khalil Mack, questionable on the injury list with a new injury. He had been on the list prior to this with a knee injury, but this week a sore back. Matt Nagy indicated on Friday he wasn't terribly concerned about it, but we need to know more, as well as the rest of the Bears actives and inactives. We're going to get that for you from Grody in just a minute after this very quick break on the Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMed, Chicago.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. We're back with Grody on the Field, Chicago Bears sideline reporter for WBBM News, Mark Grody, getting the latest information and stories leading up to game time. Brought to you by Bet Rivers. Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome back, everybody, to our Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, our co-host alongside. I am Hub Arkish. I'm going to get to Grody in just a minute. I want to do some cleanup work here, take care of some business. You know, Olin, it's even more than what you suggested. Ben Garland was the 49ers starting center. He went on injured reserve a week ago. They had also brought in Weston Richburg, the center from the Giants earlier in the year, as the backup slash swing guard. He was out injured yesterday as well. Hronus Grisu was brought in as basically the third string center, and that's why he's on the football field. So no, the Bears did not make a mistake there. Very quickly, yesterday, Oland 0-2-1. He had New England, who kind of made a mess out of that one, and Jacksonville, I believe, who couldn't cover that number. Cleveland at least pushed with that late touchdown. Oland now 12-8-1 out of the season. Patrick was 1-2. He had Seattle and Tennessee, who both lost as favorites. He did have Detroit covering. So Patrick now has a half-game lead at 13-8. I was actually 2-1 yesterday. I had Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay, but I lost on Seattle as well. So I am 10-11, kind of crawling back into the competition here. I won't make this mistake again, guys. I should have anticipated this during the week and at least had the picks posted to 670score.com for any future Monday or Thursday night games. We'll make sure we get those picks out for you so you don't miss out on them, particularly when Olin and Patrick are doing so well. We know you want to have those.
I won't make the mistake again, Hub. I thought Pat was hot and I followed him and I lost some money on Bet. I'm glad Atlanta fell apart at the end like usual. But I put money on Pat's bets. I'm like, Pat's on fire. And then I lost about 7 bets yesterday in the NFL.
But those two games I lost, I think it was the last second games. They're the most entertaining games, and I'm pumping my fist. Like, I'm going to go 3-0.
Gentlemen, I at the very first week of the season, I teed it up as best I can. We are doing this strictly for fun. If you're going to risk your hard-earned cash, you got all the disclaimers we can give you.
I'm trying to win and win money.
All right. Well, and you are winning, by the way. So our Bet Rivers plays of the week have been very popular, and I'm sure they will begin this Sunday. We'll have them for you prior to the Saints game. But right now, we want to get to Grody on the couch. We have two different segments this year. We got Grody on the field when the Bears are in Chicago. NFL sideline reporters across the league are not traveling with teams on the road. It's part of the mitigation protocols in place dealing with the public health crisis, trying to travel as few people as possible. So Mark is here in town with us, but still very much on top of everything, keeping up with the team at practice all week long, all the Zoom conferences, and ready for us with the actives and inactives. And no surprise, Mark, that yes, Khalil Mack apparently will be ready to go. Anything else that you see that you think Bears fans need to know about?
Yeah, Khalil Mack will go. He had the back injury, which had him miss one day of practice this week, and then he was limited in another, and then he was questionable on the injury report, and now he has vanished from the injury report, which means he is good to go. He will play. I also think Bears fans would want to know that Buster Skrine will play tonight. He had been dealing with an ankle injury, all hands on deck. You definitely want him in there covering Cooper Kupp at times in the slot. Deion Bush as well is active tonight. Just for the record, the inactives tonight, and one of them actually does stand out, Sherrick McManus, who does things on defense and a lot on special teams. He is not going to give it a go tonight. Riley Ridley still living on the inactive list. Artavis Pierce, the running back, is out still. Arlington Hambright, the rookie offensive lineman, and then the rookie outside linebacker, Travis Gibson, out for the Bears as well. One notable gentleman from the Rams injury report, and that is tight end Tyler Higbee out tonight due to a hand injury, and that is somewhat significant. Higbee, 18 catches this year, 222 yards, and I believe if these stats are refreshed and updated, sometimes they're not depending on what the source is, but I do believe he leads this team in touchdown receptions with 3 this year, but Higbee out due to that hand injury.
Well, Mark, let me add to that. You know, this Rams passing game is interesting because, yes, Cooper Kupp is an excellent receiver, and Robert Woods is a really nice number two. But neither of these guys are going to burn you or beat you deep unless you make a mistake in coverage. They're not big play type guys normally. Josh Reynolds is the take the top off guy. He's averaging 16.1 per catch. Again, Woods and Kupp each averaging only 12 yards per catch. But Higbee is a seam splitter, is a tight end. He is averaging 15 yards a catch. And so that is a significant loss for the Los Angeles Rams. And it'll be interesting to see if that causes Chuck Pagano to change up his thinking in his coverages. You know, Mark, I think the other thing that I just cannot get my arms around is if you're only going to dress David Montgomery, Cordarrelle Patterson, who's not really a running back, they've made him one, but that's not been his history, and then Ryan Nall. Is Ryan Nall ever going to play? I know he's contributing to special teams, but I don't understand how they're handling the running back position.
I think that they have proved that they are not. The only time that we've really seen Ryan Nall get considerable playing time and actually play very well, unfortunately, has been in preseason games, of which we did not see any this year. So there is something about Ryan Nall running the football that they have no interest in real action, in real games. Like you said, they will bring him in to games, but not to run the football. So, Hub, I don't see that changing at all. Here's what I think maybe the reason for that is. I feel like they think they have enough problems trying to get the run game coordinated with everybody, whoever you want to blame, the offensive lineman, the running backs, the scheme, the offensive line coach, whomever. They're like, we got enough issues here, so we're going to stick with bread and butter. And to them, that is David Montgomery, and strangely enough this year, Cordarrelle Patterson to a lesser degree. So I'd love to see Ryan Nall too, and you know, he has more speed than people think. But to answer the question directly, no, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yep. Preseason, where all the where all the white running backs dominate.
That's right.
Hey Grody, I would ask you about Aaron Donald, but I'm sure he's walking on water somewhere. The Rams' run game, has the defense talked about that this week and how they plan on slowing them down? Because really, their whole offense is based off that running game. And that is the one place where the Bears have shown to struggle this year. And if the Rams can get that running game going, the Bears defense will be in a lot of trouble to be on their heels the whole game. So what was the talk around the Bears this week on stopping the Rams running game?
Rams Oland averaging 135 yards per game on the ground. Darrell Henderson and Malcolm Brown is the tandem that they will go with and usually have. And to answer your question, yes, I talked to Mario Edwards at a one-on-one with him for the pregame show over on WBBM. And I was asking him about, hey, that's a pretty high-powered Rams offense. And all he would say was, all we are focused on right now, and of course in his position too, is stopping the run game. Because he said, if you stop that, then you're stopping everything else. And the Bears, that is one of the tender areas on the Bears defense this year, that at times they have allowed, it has been jarring, where they have allowed running backs to burst through the right through the heart of the line and get big yards. So that is one area that you can exploit the Bears defense. And also, not to mention, the Bears have been really good against the pass this year. I believe that they are top 10 in defending the pass this year. And also, Jared Goff has had zero touchdown passes against the Bears in the last two games. They've been able to rattle him. So I would imagine that you collect all of that info, and the Rams are going to want to make that their game plan to run the ball and throw when they have to.
Hey, Mark, one of the matchups I'm looking forward to watching is Allen Robinson and Jalen Ramsey. Are they expecting him to kind of mirror Robinson all day? Is that what Brandon Staley's going to dial up, and is that what the Bears are expecting?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and Ramsey did a really good job on Allen Robinson last year. He was simply Allen Robinson, not a factor. Robinson has been talking about it. Of course, for people who don't know, but you probably do know, the two used to be teammates in Jacksonville and went at it a lot. So those guys know each other. They've had some epic battles through the years, whether it's in practice or just on the field. So, yeah, that's going to definitely be a big matchup to watch tonight. And, of course, I mean, they're just at this point with the Bears offense, there simply is not another guy who puts fear in the eyes of the defense. We've seen some nice things from Darnell Mooney. He is definitely on the rise, but there's still not a fear factor when you talk about Darnell Mooney or really anybody else on that Bears offense. Flashes from Anthony Miller, but he's been pretty non-existent in the last couple of games. So that is a big deal spot too. I got a real quick question for you though, Patrick Manley, because I don't know if you heard me on with Lawrence Holmes today, but Lawrence Holmes brought up the punter for the Rams, Johnny Hecker.
Yes.
And Lawrence was suggesting to me that look out for a potential fake punt out of Johnny Hecker because he is good at it. And I was just looking at an article here, Patrick, that says Hecker is a punting legend and a fake punt god. Are you with Lawrence Holmes on this one?
I would have been if Bones Fossil was still there. He moved on to Dallas, and they got John Bonamago, who's a little more conservative. But Johnny Hecker is I guess, was a – I think he was an all-state quarterback as well in the state of Washington, won the state championship. He is a weapon. He's outstanding. I was doing some research on him as well. It's funny you ask, because Bill Belichick had a big, long article describing what made Johnny Hecker so good. And, yeah, it's the you know, being scared for the fake punt. He's so good with his arm. But he's even better with his leg, and that's what's weird. You think, just punt the ball, right? Okay, try to get it within the 20 or hit it far. Well, he can hit different styles of punts, which make it difficult to catch. So that gets me a little nervous for whoever's back there. You know, Ted Ginn's been doing it the last couple weeks, but he looked a little shaky last week. But Johnny Hecker, sure, I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be a little more surprised to see a fake this year compared to years past without Fossil. But he is just a weapon. He can change the field, pins you down inside the 20, and then potentially hits a kick where, you know, Ted Ginn, if he's back there, could muff it.
You know, Grody, we're going to have a conversation with our buddy Lawrence, because as much as I love him, that may be the first time that punter and God have ever been used in the same sentence.
So, well, no, Lawrence didn't say that. Lawrence didn't call him a God. Lawrence brought him up to me today, and I was just doing a little research, and the first article I see says, Johnny Hecker is a punting legend and a fake punt God. Lawrence did not say that, for the
I
record.
Didn't think Lawrence,
what
yeah,
what
I
we
didn't
need
think
is time do. Limits on kicker and punter conversations.
Just like the amount of snaps we take in a game.
I didn't say long snap. We talk about them all day long, Pat. Yeah.
Mark, I do think there's one more story we want to touch on before we got to let you run.
All right.
Any conversation all week long? Right now, Leonard Floyd is the exact same player he was with the Bears. He is on pace to finish the season with 40 tackles, 5 sacks, and 5 tackles for loss. In other words, a very average outside linebacker, and for the position he plays, the strong side backer in a 3-4, not good enough. Any comment from his teammates, anything you heard out of L.A., any thoughts about any concerns that Leonard Floyd may decide to make a point tonight?
Very little on Leonard Floyd throughout the week, to be honest with you, Hub. And it's interesting, too. You're right. He is on target to do what Leonard Floyd does. And interestingly enough, Leonard Floyd this year has 2 sacks and I believe 4 tackles for loss. And I think those sacks were early in the season, not that we're late in the season or anything, but in the first couple of games. And that was very similar to what he did with the Bears. Remember, he would always have some good games, usually against the Packers. He would have good games early in the year in terms of the quarterback sack numbers, and then he would fade away and every once in a while make a play. And then you'd hear Ted Monachino saying things like, well, he's doing everything we're asking him to do, when everybody knows that the job for him, at least when he was with the Bears, was to sack the quarterback. The other big difference about Leonard Floyd these days, guys, is he wears number 54 now. No more 94. He is 54 with the Rams.
Mark, we do appreciate it, buddy. I know you'll be back home in that first row next week when the Saints come to town. Enjoy the ball game tonight. And I know that you're probably – well, I can't remember now, because I know I've asked you I pointed out that we can't ask you to make a pick on a game that you're broadcasting. Have we had you giving us a pick on road games?
I don't believe you guys have asked me to do that. So far, I have escaped the humiliation of being incorrect on my picks.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's nothing humiliating when you're working with Manley and Cruz. These guys are both 5-1 coming in tonight.
Oh,
I've managed to humiliate myself all on my own. but if you'd like to tell us what you think is going to happen tonight, I know the audience would love to know.
Ready? Here it is. So the Bears will win tonight by a final score of 27-24. I think David Montgomery is going to have 7 catches for 63 yards and a TD, because the Rams this year have allowed 305 receiving yards to running backs this year. In other words, they struggle with the versatile backs, and we know that Montgomery, if given a chance, is capable in the passing game. How you like that, guys?
That's a lot more detail than I expected to get. Thank you very much. So
I'm always
ready,
man.
Those sound like bets. Did you make those? Well, did you put money on those?
No, know, I'm not a gambling man yet. I've not followed in. I heard you guys talking. You guys go heavy, man. I mean, teach me your ways. I mean, I'm ready to throw some cash around, you know. But I haven't done it yet. But I'm down with it.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Of course, when the Bears are at home, you will hear Mark Grody on the broadcast with our buddies Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer over at our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 105.9 on your FM dial. He will also be there every game once this public health crisis is over. And, of course, Mark is a regular here on The Score, our Chicago Bears beat reporter. For grizzly winters, you need a Toro Power Max snowblower. It's a beast on snow. Act now. Get up to $100 off on select Toro Power Max snowblowers. See your Toro retailer now. Win winter with a Toro. We are going to take a quick break here. Before we go, I want to tell you this segment is brought to you by Toro Snowblowers. And guys, when we get back, we're going to get a quick pick from Olin because I know he's got to move on to his TV duties. We're going to continue to break this game down a little bit with the Bears and the Rams. We'll talk about a couple stories from around the league yesterday. And at 7 o'clock, our buddy Dan Pompey will join us. It's all just ahead right here on the Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com.
No, and not putting sprigs in guard. Nope.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. We're back with more of the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Go to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app from the App Store now. And MailMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair is the winning play.
Welcome back, everybody. It is so good to have you all with us. We've got time for a quick call or two if you dial us up right now at 312-644-6767. Just realized I got to check the text line as well. You can text us at that number, 312-644-6767. Patrick Manley, Olin Kreutz. Olin has got to move on to his duties over at NBC Sports Chicago on television this evening. But Olin, before I let you run, we do need to get a pick. What do you think happens tonight?
You know, hate to pick against them because they're 5-1, but just watching the film, you know, it looks like the Rams are probably going to pull this one out. I think the Bears' defense struggles with the run. I think the Rams move the ball on the offense, continues to struggle to score. You know, unless the Bears can come up with a +2 turnover ratio, I don't see how they win this game.
All righty, Olin. No shame in telling it like it is. That's what we're here for. You know, and I got to tell you, the more you look at this, you try and find reasons other than a gut feeling. And, you know, we're not here to give our gut feelings or our hopes or wishes. This is a tough one for the Bears, no question about it. So we will let you run. I know you got to get across town, and we will have Olin back with us again next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock right here at the Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com. Patrick and I will take you home over the next half hour or so, right up until kickoff. And, you know, Patrick, I want to come back for just a minute to what I was talking to Mark about. I don't know who Ryan Nall is, and it's not about Ryan Nall so much in my mind. I'm trying to understand what the Bears' plan is. And I know you don't plan, well, you have to be prepared for injury. You don't plan for injury. But what if David Montgomery gets nicked up in a game and the only two guys who can put at that position are Cordarrelle Patterson and Ryan Nall, and you've done nothing to prepare Ryan Nall for it? And Cordarrelle Patterson, while he's a tremendous threat at the position, is obviously not a complete running back. It just really troubles me that they're leaving themselves so vulnerable.
So you're saying you just want to see him get a carry or two during the game just to kind of get in the flow just in case something happened?
Well, what I'm really saying is I'd kind of like to see Artavis Pierce or Lamar Miller activated from the practice squad.
Okay.
And mainly Lamar Miller, because at least with him, if he's available, you know, now you've got a veteran running back who you could theoretically plug right in. And I find it troubling that he was signed 3 weeks ago now, and he was brought onto the practice squad to first get an idea of where he was after the ACL last year. But he's 13 months removed from that ACL surgery, and by NFL standards, he should be ready. Mm-hmm. And I do kind of like Ryan Nall. I love what I've seen in the preseason. I have no idea if he can play at this level or not. I'm just worried about how dangerously thin this team continues to allow itself to be to decide that it should be at the running back position.
No, yeah, I hear exactly what you're saying, but I think it goes back to special teams hub. I think he just has the value there that I think he's a three or might be a four-phase player, which means he plays punt, punt return, mm-hmm. kickoff return. And that is just a big value for the team. You need guys like that. You need core guys like that. That's what elevates special teams play to be one of the better units in the league. That's when you can have guys be four-phase players, that's kind of what they buy into. And I agree with you about Lamar Miller. I would like to see him play. 13 months, I had an ACL. I was obviously a long snapper. But after 13 months, I felt pretty darn good. And he has some familiarity with Charles Lennon, the running backs coach. He was with them in Houston as well. So it'll be interesting to see what does go on, you know, moving forward. If the running game continues to struggle, maybe you just try something else as well. But I think it's just because Ryan Nall is a four-phase player and he's too valuable on that special teams. And right now, with the way the team is set up, with a dominant defense, a good special teams, and a poor offense, you need the special teams to be able to play well to help these help the Bears win these games.
Yeah, and guys, for everybody listening, just to be clear, it honestly kind of pissed me off a little bit that when an all-pro like Le'Veon Bell became available and the Bears with such a clear problem at least weren't actively involved in the pursuit. And I don't know everything that goes on at Halas Hall, but I do know had they been, we would have found out about it. And, you know, maybe there's other reasons not to sign him. Maybe Le'Veon Bell's no good anymore. But it's frustrating that this team is 5-1. They have an obvious area to address, and they seem unwilling to do it. And so that's kind of where I come from with all this conversation. Ryan Nall's a kid that I kind of like, but I don't know if he can play running back at this level or not. Pat, we do have a caller. We've got Jason out in Bolingbrook. Jason, we're going to go fairly quick here because we got to get to a break, but would love to hear what you got on your mind tonight.
My thing is tonight I just want to see Aaron Donald taken out of the game. The defense do what they need to do, and the offense do not make any stupid penalties. And, hey, I want to shout out Paco's Tacos on Archer. And then, hey, I love you. Bear down.
Thank you, Jason. And believe it or not, I've been to Paco's Tacos on Archer, and it's worth the shout out. So good for you. I'm not sure about the football talking. Well, yeah. I didn't catch Patrick what he wanted to do to Aaron Donald.
He wants to take him out of the game. That's a hard thing to do. I think he's going to make his plays, but you just got to limit those plays and not let him be a game wrecker. What I mean by that is sack fumbles, you know, those kind of things. And it's going to be a tough one because the O-line up the middle has not been playing well the last couple weeks, and this is their biggest test so far.
You know what is interesting is that in these last two games, remember they played in 18 and the Bears defense absolutely stoned the Rams offense, and then the Rams did pretty much the same thing to the Bears last year out in L.A. Aaron Donald hasn't been much of a factor in either of those games. He wasn't the Aaron Donald that you read and hear about. Now, again, each of those two very different offensive lines, but for whatever reason, he has not made a huge impact against the Bears the last two times out.
Well, let's keep it that way.
Yeah.
But I'm just a little nervous about it, though, just the way they've played in the middle, and Olin's talked about it quite a bit, that just the communication between Cody White here and the rest of the guys and putting them on the right guys. And when you start getting confused up there and you don't get the guy, you know, two guys on Aaron Donald, if it's supposed to be that play, or you set incorrectly to Aaron Donald, that's when those big plays can happen. Let's just hope they get everything ironed out and they're on the same page.
All right, guys, we've got to take another very quick break here at 670 The Score. You've got the Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com. When we get back, our fourth amigo, Dan Pompey, will come on board. We'll talk more Bears-Rams with you in just a moment with our Hall of Fame writer from The Athletic.
Pompey's Prediction. Covering the NFL for over 30 years. Dan Pompey, NFL writer for The Athletic. Pompey's Prediction on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Go to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app from the App Store now.
Welcome back, everybody, to our Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com. I'm Hub Arkish. Patrick Manley is here. Olin Kreutz has to scoot out every week just a few minutes early because of his TV duties for postgame over at NBC Sports Chicago. And so what we do is bring in the fourth member of our team, Dan Pompey. You follow him on Twitter at Dan Pompey. You read him at theathletic.com. And you hear him regularly right here at 670 The Score. And, of course, regularly with every Bears game in our Bet Rivers pregame show. Dan, welcome to the program. Hope everything is going well for you so far. Hope you enjoyed what has come so far in week 7 of the NFL season.
Boy, what a crazy, fantastic week it's been so far. And we can only hope that tonight's game between the Bears and the Rams lives up to the previous games of the week, right?
Yeah, you know, guys, let me ask you a question. I was tweeting about it, and I got a bunch of people mad at me last night, but I had a real problem with that leverage call on Brendan Mayora last night in that Seahawks-Cardinals game. And yeah, I agree the game was, I don't know if it was a classic, but it was highly entertaining, everything about it. Mayora jumps offsides, And as offsides, the offensive lineman comes up in his block and gets him up on his back. He made no attempt to raise his arms or block any kicks. It changed the outcome of the game. If you just call the offsides, you've got the Seahawks, basically punting the football and really no chance to get 10 points and no ability to stop the clock. By giving them the ball back, they go down, they get the touchdown, and then, you give them credit for certainly finishing after that. But it just drives me nuts when officials change the outcome of games, and it's not the players making these things happen. Now, Dan, I understand that Mayorga, it was a mental error. He shouldn't have been offsides. But I just don't see that call at that point in the game.
Yeah, it's interesting, Hub. I think the officials have been a little sloppy this season. I don't know why that is. I guess this conversation comes up every year, and we probably could debate it every season and do, but it seems to me like it's been more prominent this season, and they've made mistakes at critical points of games, and that was probably one of them. Or at least, there have been controversial calls at critical points of a lot of games. So it'll be interesting to see, to me, as the season goes on, if this continues at the same kind of pace that it's been going with officials' calls, or, if, like a lot of players, they start to kind of get into a little bit of a groove and, the tackling gets crisper and the running backs hit the holes a little bit better, the offensive linemen clean up their technique and all that kind of thing. I think there is something to be said for having to kind of round into form at the beginning of a season, but, we're not at the beginning of a season anymore.
Pat, the other thing that just drove me nuts yesterday, I was watching that Pittsburgh-Tennessee game, which was a really good football game. And yet early on in the game, I'm thinking, oh, okay, so that's what pass interference is. And then three plays later, I'm saying, oh, wait a minute, I guess that's not pass interference. And then four plays later, it's, well, is that what pass interference is? And then, two plays later, well, no, I guess that's not pass. You could, if you watch 10 minutes of that game, you could have no idea what pass interference is. I don't understand what officials are calling. And that's a big factor tonight. Because clearly flags are coming out quick on Kyle Fuller, and nobody plays more physical than Jalen Ramsey, and there is no consistency anywhere in the league that I can find.
Yeah, I think consistency is the thing you want. And then correct me if I'm wrong about Kyle Fuller last week, his penalty, he did not get fined for that hit, correct? Did I read
right.
that?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So what does that tell you? That tells you the referee was wrong on the field. Yeah. Yeah, it was a legal hit. That's just... And you're right, it's just the consistency. It almost needs to be that the rules are more simplified, so they're easier to interpret. But, it's open to interpretation now by all the guys across the league, and it's unfortunate because sometimes it's holding, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's PI, sometimes it's not. And it's just, I wish it was more consistent, but it's a hard job to do. And I always go back, when everybody or anybody talks about the referees, I always bring up Dick Geron because he had a great line. Every training camp, the referees come in and they spend a week with you and, work through new rules and, they knock their dust off as well. And he always said, hey, guys, these guys are the best in the world at what they do, just like you are at what you do. So cut them some slack. And that's just, you know Dick Geron really well. That's just the way he could simplify things and put it in the right terms for us. And it's a nice way to look at it. And that's, I'm kind of glad Coach Geron said that to us because it is true. They're the best in the world at what they do, but So were we as players, but you also expect more out of players and you expect more out of referees.
All right, so Dan, we want to get to Bears-Rams, but I got to ask you one more quick one because at about 2:45, there were at least three dozen, maybe four dozen Browns fans on my Twitter feed wanting Baker Mayfield ridden out of town on a rail, calling him the worst quarterback in the NFL, a lot of Mitch Trubisky comparisons, and at 3:10, they were ready to put him in the Hall of Fame. I don't know what your take on that team and that quarterback and that situation is because it really is fascinating.
I think my take is Twitter is highly overrated.
Well, that's a given for me anyway.
I think Baker Mayfield is that kind of quarterback, though, right? He's that guy who is going to really frustrate the Browns fans at times and then they're going to love him. But you know, he's a high wire act, and he's going to go splat at times. So I don't know if he's the type of quarterback who is going to mature and really become consistent, more consistent, consistent enough over time. He's not there yet, I don't think. Losing Odell Beckham is not going to hurt him. It's not going to help him, certainly. But he's interesting to watch, that's for sure. He is definitely an entertaining quarterback to watch because he does not always do things the way that quarterback's supposed to do them or the way that you hope he would do them.
Yeah, and I guess we should add, and I feel awful for the kid. You don't want to see anybody get hurt. But 2 weeks ago, you know, against Dallas, or maybe it was 3 weeks ago, Odell Beckham Jr. was suddenly saying, hey, I'm the best receiver in the NFL again, and he was that day. And now here we are, not quite to midseason, and he's done again. He's making the Giants look pretty smart, and I realize it's not, you know, his fault with the injuries, but apparently that's going to be the story of that career. People forget he's already been around for 6 years. It seems like he just came on the scene yesterday. So let's get to the Rams and the Bears tonight, Dan. I it's interesting. The Rams defense, it should scare the hell out of you, you know, particularly Aaron Donald. I mean, they can be game changers on a regular basis. The offense is back to at least more consistent and more focused on what it wants to do this year than it was last year. Jared Goff certainly playing much better. And yet when you dig a little deeper, you find that they've played one winning team and lost to them. They played a 549ers team at the time and lost to them. And their four wins are over the NFC East, who everybody and their brother beats. And so it's kind of hard to get your arms around just where exactly this team is right now.
Yeah, you know, what really surprised me is that the odds makers had so much confidence in the Rams in this game. And so little confidence in the Bears, but I guess that's kind of a weekly thing that we've seen over and over again. They just don't believe in the Bears. But I don't know what the Rams have done to inspire that kind of confidence. Like you say, all their wins against NFC East weaklings. And, you know, the Bears, I think at this point you would say, you know, have had some kind of prove-it victories. So I think the Bears' defense matches up really well against this offense. You know, it has in the past. Jared Goff has been completely frustrated every time he's played against Bears' defense. I think they've intercepted him something like five times in the last few games. So that's a good matchup. You know, the question is, can the Bears' offense do enough to win this game and against that fantastic Rams defense? Yeah, two great defenses out there, and you know, may the better defense win.
Yeah, and you know, guys, as we know, all the odds makers are doing is trying to get half the money on either side of the bet. It's really NFL fans everywhere who I think it is more about disrespecting the Bears than really, you know, recognizing the Rams. I'm sure some of it is both, but I thought that the Bears would be 4-point dogs because they were being disrespected and the Rams got, you know, the 3 for home field advantage. But 6 points makes very little sense to me. Fortunately, we don't have to pick this game against the spread. We just need to say who's going to win and who's going to lose. And unfortunately, we're kind of short on time tonight, Dan. So I want to get yours and Patrick's pick in before we hear that music start to play. We'll let you go first. What do you think does happen out there in Los Angeles?
You know, I think the Bears are going to have to do a lot of things to contain Aaron Donald. You know, whatever is necessary. It's double teams, formations, personnel packages, play calls. You know, the whole deal. Just keep him from completely wrecking the offense. I think they're going to have to run the ball, so you keep them off balance a little bit. And if you could do that, you know, you just do enough so the offense kind of doesn't get you beat anyway, right? And you allow the defense to do its thing. I think the defense is going to come up with some takeaways tonight, and I think they're going to come up with some big plays. So I like the Bears in this one. I've got the Bears winning a close game 17-16.
All righty. That's good news for Bears fans. Patrick, you're up next. What do you think?
Oh, I'm happy somebody's picking the Bears, and that 6-point cover, you know, I gotta talk about that because now we're doing the Bet Rivers pregame show, and I've been putting money on the Bears every week on my app, but I'm nervous about this one. This one kind of scares me. I just don't know if the Bears can fix their offense against this defense. I just don't see him scoring enough points again. That's just been the biggest problem all year. I just don't see it happening. I'm nervous about that interior of the offensive line, taking care of Aaron Donald and everybody else in there. The only way they can do it, they got to move the pocket with Nick and, like you said, be able to run the ball and get the screen game going. If they can do that, they can win. But unfortunately, I don't have the Bears winning tonight. I have them covering, though, of a score of 19-14.
Well, guys, there's a side of me that's with Dan. My gut is telling me the Bears are going to get this done. And I think in part it's because people are overrating the Rams. But then I look at the Bears' first six games, and you study the tape, and you look at the stats, and all the things they've been unable to do, and the idea that they're going to do those things against this Rams defense in particular tonight, I can't find any way to justify the pick. And I'm not paid here to go with my gut. I'm paid to analyze it. And so I think the 6 points is nuts. I think the Bears give them all they can handle, but I do see the Rams finding a way in the end, and I actually had this one 19-16. So all of us are taking the Bears with the points. Only Dan is picking the Chicago Bears to win the football game. Dan, very good so far, by the way, at 4-2. Olin and Pat are 5-1 picking Bears games. I am 3-3. We do have to run. Guys, thank you so much. In addition to Dan Pompey, we want to thank Mark Grody. Of course, we want to thank Jordan Malley, our outstanding producer, for doing such a great job tonight. To all of you who have listened and joined us and called, we really appreciate it. Guys, make sure as soon as you hear that final gun, you're right back here at 670 The Score for the Prop Swap postgame show presented by PNC Bank. For right now, we say goodnight on this Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com, and go Bears!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.